Today we continue our series on the 8 types of capital from a permaculture's perspective and seeing how they fit into a business and from a standpoint of business management, business cultivation, business development, business, business cultivation. And that's a term I can't believe I stumbled on, because it's really what I want you to take away from this more than anything else as we're working through this series, is to start thinking about cultivating your business, growing your business, causing your business to grow in a way that it actually begins to take a life of its own on. And that's really cool, because what we're going to talk about today is the second form of capital from the article, spiritual capital. And spiritual capital might be something that a business owner looks at and goes, I don't have time for that. Or a person that really takes their spiritual life and their secular life and really bifurcates them into two areas. Or the person that's not spiritual at all might say, this doesn't pertain to me. It most certainly does, because I'm going to secularize spirituality for a business. I'm going to take spiritual components today, and I'm going to tell you how they fit into your business, whether you're an atheist or a devout believer in any faith. Won't matter. I promise I can do that for you today, and I can do that for you in a way that will change the way you look at business. Let's start out, though, with how spiritual capital is defined in the article, which, again, is available at a website called Apple Seed Permaculture, and there's a link in every single one of these podcasts for this series so that I give due credit to the author. So a quote from the article here is, as one practices their religion, spirituality, or other means of connection to self and universe, one may accumulate spiritual capital. It contains aspects of intellectual and experiential capital, but it is deeper, more personal, and less quantifiable. Many of the world's religions include a concept of the great chain of being, a holiaric understanding of existence, where spiritual attainment, in this context, the accumulation of spiritual capital, leads to different levels of being. Buddhism even contains an explicit spiritual currency called karma. This form of spiritual capital is tallied and accounted for not only in one's current life, but in taking reincarnation into consideration, also into all of the past and future lives of one's soul. And a spiritual capital, again, enters the concepts that capital can be in the form of equity, gathering positive spiritual experience, understanding, attainment, or in the form of debt. So capital can be either capital that you have, capital that you owe, or capital that you are owed when we look at karma and spirituality. Let's talk about one word there that people may struggle with and not understand, especially if you don't have any understanding, you know, more of the Eastern religions, but it's definitely present in Christianity and other Western religions as well. Holiarch. This is from the term holarchy. Holarchy, not malarchy, holarchy, is the concept that all things are part of everything and individual at the same time. So that the planet Earth is part of the solar system, but it exists as a planet as well as a part of the whole. Of course, the solar system is a part of the galaxy that we call the Milky Way, but yet the solar system exists as a component and as part of the whole. When we look at how it relates to spirituality, we'd say that the individual, you yourself, exists as an individual, but through the interconnectedness, all beings are a part of God. We use this to describe the church in Christianity as the body of Christ. In Eastern faiths, it's seen more extensual, but we can explain it again through karma, that since we're all connected, whatever I do to you, I do to myself. Can even express that in the golden rule from the Christian faith. So understand that I'm not preaching to you here. I'm a very non-religious guy. I just have an understanding of all these faiths, and now I'm going to turn them on how they relate to business. Let's start out with karma. Karma is the easiest one we can take as spiritual capital and transform it over into the world of business. Simply put, that as an individual, you can do a lot of things, and if you don't believe in the spiritual nature of karma, you can get away with a lot of crap that you can't get away with in a business. In other words, you can walk down the street, have somebody kind of cut you off, and maybe they were wrong and maybe not so much wrong. You can call them a jackass and go on about your way, And even though if you were wrong in the exchange, it doesn't really affect you, other than you might carry around some things internally from the anger that will affect you, and maybe they do too, and you've spread that in both directions, but it's really not going to come directly back to haunt you unless you have some spiritual connotation that you see in that. But if you were driving your company truck with your company name on it and you cut somebody off, and you did foundation repair, and you had Joe's foundation repair on your truck, and they were just about to pick the phone book up and look and pick somebody out, you could bet they're not calling you. Instant karma, right? If you have a customer that has a problem and you tell them to go screw, and they weren't a customer that needed to be, because believe, you know, I teach you that some customers need to be told to go screw and they're fired, but if they're a customer that didn't deserve that and you treat them that way, instant karma. They don't do business with you anymore, and they start telling people not to do business with you anymore. And small town America is back. Small town businesses are back globally now, where if that person happens to have like 14,000 Facebook friends, you might have caused a lot of bad karma for you. And the bigger the company is, and the more branding recognition they have, and the bigger the intellectual capital is that we talked about yesterday, the bigger that all of the other forms of capital are, the more the spiritual karma hurts when you do something wrong to one person. So as we build businesses, we need to think about the karma that we're putting out. If we want community capital that we'll get to later on, we have to put out good karma. All right? Then the next one is, one concept of spirituality is that we as humans are more than atoms and molecules and blood vessels and organs and teeth and bones and hair. The body is a shell and there's an immortal soul. Some just say it's an energy that returns, that doesn't retain all of the cost. Some believe in a life after death. There's lots of different views of that, but just about any spirituality, and when you go to its core, believes that there's some spark of life in a human body. And I could explain it to you this way, that if I kill you dead with like a lethal injection that just stops your heart and leaves you dead, and I can't bring you back to life, but I immediately put you on a respirator and something to pump your heart, I can make your body function like a machine. Okay? I can make your blood flow. I can make everything move, but you're dead. Your life is gone. If I cut your arm and then I stitch it up and I give you antibiotics and treat that wound will never heal once you're dead. No matter how mechanically I cause your body to function, when your life force is gone, your wound can't heal. But if you're walking around and I give you a superficial cut on your forearm, you can use no antibiotics, no medication, it'll heal, right? As long as I haven't damaged anything seriously, there's a little cat scratch across your forearm, it'll heal. There's that life spark that continues and goes somewhere else. And where it goes, we have faith that tells us where we think it goes, and then some of us just don't know and are okay with that. But there's, in any spirituality, there's that belief. So my question for your business's spirituality is, could it live without you? Could it go on beyond you? If you were gone from the earth tomorrow, would your business or some piece of it continue to exist and grow and develop? If you've done that with your business, you're successful. If you've built a forum that would go on, Ron Hood, my good friend Ron Hood's a perfect example. He's the woodmaster. He was the guy that did the DVDs. He was the guy that everybody looked to and followed and whatever. But the community he built was so strong that even though he passed away earlier this year, the forum's there, his wife still has a business, people have rallied around the Hood family because he put out a business that had a life onto itself. That's a true business. If the owner, founder can go away and the business continues to live, we've put an element of spirituality, a life after death, so to speak, in the business. The next one is, in many faiths anyway, specifically the Christian faith, there's the concept of evangelism, right? So that means that, you know, you might be sitting on your butt one day watching football on a Sunday afternoon, no intention of going to church because you're just not that guy, and you're happy and you're watching your team win and you hear somebody knock on the door and you're just not the kind of guy to leave somebody knock on your door without answering, even though you know better. And you open your door and there's a couple people out there standing there holding the Bible and they say, have you heard about Jesus? And you go, yeah, I know. And they go, have you found him? You go, if you're like me, you jerk around with him and go, I don't know, he might be hiding under the couch. You want to come in here, have a beer and look for him? But you get my point, right? There's this movement to expand the faith. There's this movement to tell other people about it. And it's, evangelism happens in many ways. There's a direct evangelic quotient where people say, hey, you should come to our church, right? And there's an indirect where if a person lives a really awesome life, they're happy, they're balanced, their life's going on. They don't have to tell anybody that people notice that and they have that magnetic attraction because we like to be associated with people that enjoy their lives and have things put together. And if the person say, you know, the person asks, hey, why are you like so happy? You have this positive outlook. Everything seems balanced in your life. You say, well, part of it's my spirituality. You're at least intrigued. Why? How does this work? Even if you don't want the whole thing, maybe I want a piece of it. Right? So there's these concepts of growing a faith through example and direct evangelical connotations, talking to people, telling people, putting up billboards, hey, come to our church, that type of thing, which is more of a business thing, I think, than an evangelical thing, but I'll let that go. But in our world today, if you want your business grown, you need an evangelical component. You need your customers telling other customers. It's a good old-fashioned word-of-mouth marketing, right? So if you have good spiritual capital in your business, your customers bring you more customers. If you're a broadcaster like me, your listeners bring you more customers. Say, go listen to this guy. He's awesome. There's no, you can't buy that. You can't go to Google and get pay-per-click and get that kind of capital response. You can't get that kind of equity out of a billboard or a radio advertisement or your own activity online. When people who are not you tell other people about you, it carries so much more weight. It's, and I don't think most people have ever thought about it. It's spiritual capital because you've created that life that would allow your business to continue in such a way that the very fact that it would continue is contingent upon the customers that won't go away. That'll keep saying, I want something of this to live on. This is important to me. Once that happens, they're going to tell other people. So there's another piece of it. And then there's the last one. Does your business have a soul? Is it alive? If you've created a business with a soul, if you've created a business that's alive, you've got spiritual capital in your business. You say, how can that be? Well, one way that we quantify this is in a larger company where we're hiring somebody, and I've had companies that I've interviewed people for jobs, and it's not just are you qualified, will you fit in the company's culture? Right? So if I'm hiring a salesperson to come work in a company, and the primary way that people communicate in that company is through email and phones, and everybody comes in wearing casual clothing, and they have this kind of fun attitude, and we have a break room with a foosball table, and an air hockey table, and a pool table, and we have music on, and people stay after hours just to hang out, and it's that social kind of young Gen X vibe, and I've got some stuffy guy in a suit, I'm likely not to hire him for that job. He's not going to fit in the culture of the company. Or the culture of the company itself has become part of the company's soul. And it's going to attract employees that want that environment. It's going to attract customers that want that environment. Likewise, if I have a company culture that's very much the dressed up, go on site, you know, very, very professional image, high-end image, then I'm not going to hire the Gen Xer with the hacky sack who doesn't want to come to work without wearing shorts because there's a culture there. So that's one way, but it's bigger than that. When we've created that evangelical concept where the customer is going to tell other customers, when we have a business that can live beyond us, when we have karma that's good and bad going out into the marketplace and we're receiving the inputs and accepting the inputs, this is permaculture, right? Permaculture in a business. If I go out and I plant two plants, same plant, treat them the same way in two different places, and one grows well and one does shitty, I go, the shitty one is in a bad spot. This plant doesn't like the shade, the wind, the dryness, the wetness, whatever it is. I find the difference and go, this is a shitty spot for this plant. So I find another plant that will go in there. I accept feedback. And I interact with my environment. With karma, I'm interacting that way. When I do this, it pisses my... I thought it was a good idea, but it pissed my customers off. If it's not important to the core... So if I say something that upsets you and you don't like it, I don't care. But if I start doing if I started doing this segment, everybody goes, we hate this. Well, I'm going to stop. If everybody hates it, I'm going to stop. right? But if it's just something offensive, so I'm going to take that negative karma that comes back to me and I'm going to decide, is it negative enough to alter? And if it is, I'm going to change. And that means I'm going to put out more positive karma. When I've done that to a business, when I'm doing all those things, the business is alive. It's alive because it's living in that it's evolving, it's growing, it's increasing, not just in bottom line revenue, but all the other forms of capital are increasing. My intellectual capital is growing because I'm listening to you. My community capital is growing because my community is getting better. My spiritual capital is growing. My financial, all my forms of capital, my experience capital, my human capital, all these things are growing. If something's growing, it's alive. And if I'm doing it right, I'm inspiring others. I'm creating competitors, which are actually my children, and they're creating competitors that are my grandchildren. How much more proof do you need to understand that when you build a business this way, you've actually created something that's a living thing? Now, it's not biologically alive, but in a way it is. Remember that word we talked about? Halark? Halark? I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Halaric is how I would pronounce it. Halaric. Halaric. That it is that one thing is part of a chain of being. So the whole is made up of its parts. Now my business is made up of me, my partners, my contractors, my employees, and my customers. All of those are living beings by the biological definition. They are part of the whole that is the business. They're part of the community, the spirit, the culture. So the being itself, the entity itself, well, it's not biologically alive. It's made up of life. And that's how it lives. That's how it breeds. It literally reproduces by spawning other business. Whether it's a business that I inspire somebody to do, or I create a spinoff, or I create another business and use it as a springboard. It's reproducing. It's growing, reproducing, evolving, and improving. That's spiritual capital in your business. And I might be the insane entrepreneur, but that sure makes a hell of a lot of sense to me. Tune in tomorrow where we'll continue this series on the 8 forms of capital. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of 5 Minutes with Jack. To learn more, connect with our community, get free resources to build your business, visit jackspirico.com.